So-called self-styled investigators rarely have the qualities or qualifications to investigate the occult. People do not have to believe, nor do they have to disbelieve. All that is required is an open mind, and a desire, a sympathetic desire, to investigate without being biased. Psychometry: a person who is a sensitive can finger an object and tell quite a lot about it. For example, a sensitive can pick up a stone on the shore of some lake or sea. Then by sitting down and letting the mind go blank, the subconscious can activate some paranormal senses so that the fingers can convey vibrations to the brain which form pictures. All life is electric and magnetic, and anything that has been touched by a person always has the mark of that person in future. It is like touching a piece of iron with a magnet. You will find that you have partly magnetized the piece of iron. A galvanometer, or even an ordinary magnetic compass, can detect the magnetism imparted to the iron by the light touch of the magnet. In the same way, a person who can do psychometry can touch a stone, or a ring, or a piece of clothing, and can describe scenes in the past of that article. Such a person does not do it for self-gain, nor as a stage trick, but only to help others. Purgatory: this is not hell, it is nothing like hell. It is more like the hall of memories in the astral world. You may have a silver teapot. With a bit of use, that silver teapot will have got tannin stains inside, and a few marks outside. Well, if you think of selling the thing, or giving it away for a wedding present, you take steps to remove the dirt. In the same way, when some human or animal leaves this world, there is a very short stay in purgatory where the soul, or over-self, sees the mistakes committed in the life just ended, and there are some astral faces which go very red on such occasions. This purgatory is not a punishment center, it is not the local jail, it is not hell, and there are no devils who gleefully prod you with red-hot toasting forks. Purgatory is merely a place where you shed some of your conceit, some of your illusions, and where you face up to the fact that although on earth you had loads of money, etc., and people were afraid of you, here it is quite different. You did not bring your money with you. There is nothing to be afraid of in purgatory. It is quite a pleasant experience, really, to get rid of the dross picked up by living on earth. Q. Qualities: it is useless for any person to apply for a specialized job without having the qualifications necessary for that job. You would not apply to be a cook if your specialty was deep sea diving. In the same way, one has to have certain qualifications or qualities before one can make progress on the upward path of evolution. Among the qualities one must cultivate are those of stability, stability of purpose, stability of character, and stability of spirit. One must have the necessary incentive to give one the drive to pursue the much harder path of doing right, thinking right, acting right, and being right. Without drive, without the necessary incentive of restlessness, one is like a vegetable, and no matter how pure the vegetable may be, it still does not climb upwards very quickly. We have had two qualities, first stability and second incentive. The third quality is order. Unless one can maintain order within that complicated mechanism which is the human body, then one cannot make progress. One must have order in one's acts and in one's spirit. One must have the conviction and the knowledge that one is doing the right thing. It is better to do one small thing well rather than to do a thousand things badly. One should act instead of idly talking, for useless talk inflates one's ego and leads one to a false evaluation of one's own virtues and vices. Current: this is the inquirer. One who inquires, one who asks a question, one upon whose behalf certain forms of divination are being practiced. One may be using the crystal or the tarot cards, and the person for whom one is using the crystal or the tarot cards is the querent. The attitude of the querent determines whether the divination shall be successful or not. If the querent is skeptical or downright disbelieving, or if the querent gives false information, then that person's subconscious is prevented from realizing the truth. It should be remarked that the person, the diviner, if you wish, is not trying to catch the querent, the diviner is trying to help. It follows that a querent should be impersonal, free from emotion, and should put aside all fears and all self-consciousness, otherwise the attitude may weigh against the cards or against the crystal. If, as an example, a young woman with things to hide tries to get a tarot reading, she may erect an invisible barrier of thought in case her unfortunate past will be revealed. The barrier and that which she would conceal is indeed revealed to the clairvoyant, but the matter about which the querent is querying may be obscured. Tarot cards and crystals, capably handled, can help one, but one also has to help in one's turn. Quest. We come to this earth in quest of knowledge, in quest of purification. We come that by suffering, and we get that. The dross may be purified from our soul in much the same way that ores are clapped in a furnace and melted so that dross and slag are set aside. An over-self may have certain desires. It is much the same as you wearing a suit of clothes which has a spot of dirt. Eventually you send that suit to the cleaners where, in its own opinion, it gets badly treated, it is dipped in various solvents, knocked about, shaken out, and subjected to hot irons, but it comes back sometimes with the spot removed. The overself sends the messy bits of itself down to the earth where, it is hoped, that by hardship the flaws will disappear. Quest is the search for purification of the overself. Or, if you like ancient mythology, the search for the golden fleece, that which has no impurities, that which was clean and pure and spiritual. Raga, this is another word for emotion, for liking, for pleasure. It usually arises from the memory of some pleasant object, or from an idea or person. It is, of course, an abstract term. There is another meaning for raga, because it is a specialized form of Indian musical composition. Arising from the first form of raga comes raga bhakti, which is the spontaneous flowering of spiritual love. Usually it is caused by some intense and unexpected experience or emotion. Another form of raga is raga dvesha, and that is the liking and disliking of people. We sometimes meet a person whom we like intensely at first sight, love at first sight it is called, or we also have the converse. We see a person and we most heartily dislike that person at first sight. These sensations are things which have to be eradicated by the developing person, because likes and dislikes, without apparent reason, are a sign of ignorance and a failure to succeed on a spiritual basis. Raja Yoga. Raja is royal, so Raja Yoga is often referred to as Royal Yoga. It is one of the four main ways which enables us to return to the great over-self. Raja Yoga trains mankind to self-mastery. It teaches that one must not be dependent upon others but must master one's own difficulties oneself. Recharga, this is the process of expelling all possible air from the lungs so that fresh air can be taken in when one is practicing various breathing exercises. We will not deal with it here because supplementa is devoted to different forms of breathing. Recreation. Do you know what recreation really is? Recreation, that is, creating anew. A person becomes dull and jaded by working too long at one particular thing. A person may be at a desk all day adding up columns of awful figures. At the end of the day the person looks dead on his feet, but then he goes out and recreates energy, that is, he obtains energy by engaging in a fresh form of exercise, or pastime, or work. Recreation is necessary if one is going to do one's best work in any particular line. Reincarnation. Reincarnation is the act of coming back to this material world from the spirit world. The time sense on a material world and that of the spirit worlds is quite different, and so one can learn lessons much faster on a material planet than one can in the spirit. People keep coming to Earth, or to other Earths, in much the same way as one goes to school. One leaves home in the morning and goes to school, where it is intended that one shall learn certain lessons. At the end of the school day one returns home. As one works through one class one is promoted to another class until one has learned, in theory, all that the school can teach, and then one goes on to a higher grade of school, and from school to a college or university. In much the same way one comes to this earth, and then keeps coming back to the Earth to enter different classes. When one has learned that which the Earth can teach, one moves on to a different world, just as the adolescent moves on to a higher class at school. Relaxing, it is essential that a person be able to relax, and few people can because they are too impatient, too anxious to get results without doing anything. One can relax anywhere. Sit down, slump down, in a chair. Examine, mentally, your muscles one by one. Is your foot at the easiest angle? Have you a tightness in a calf muscle? And how about your back? Are you really sitting in that position which it is no strain to maintain? Examine yourself mentally area by area. Make sure that all your muscles are slack, really slack. Are you sure everything is slack? Then how about your face? Why is your mouth pursed up like that? Why are your eyelids so tightly squeezed together? Relax. Relax your muscles. Imagine that you have just fallen out of an airplane and you are sprawled on the ground. You would be relaxed then, all right. If you can relax all your muscles so that you are not under constant muscular tension, your health will improve. Try it. Rights. It is the right of all mankind to be able to travel along the path of spirituality. People do not usually realize that all men are equal in the sight of God. In the same way, all souls are equal in the sight of God, no matter whether they be black, yellow, or white. It is known that there is no segregation off this earth. Too often rights are limited by a form of communal law which is intended to benefit only the members of that community. Tribal law was the same. Tribes had laws which benefited only the tribe to which they applied. The stranger is always wrong. The foreigner in a country is always the one who gets the wrong end of the stick. The alien is always suspect, always misunderstood, always penalized. The alien is that which does not belong, and thus is an object bereft of the sympathy and understanding of others. It is said that blood is thicker than water, but until the parochial thinking people realize that the person of another tribe or community has equal rights, until the people of one country realize that people of another country also have a right to live, then there can be no real understanding or progress on earth. Rishi, this is a saint, or a good living person, or one who has mediumistic abilities. Usually a rishi is a person who has in some way been responsible for the sacred scriptures of a religion. Rishi, an inspired seer. Rites, rites are disciplines. And whether they be pagan rites or civilized rites depends upon whether you are referring to the other fellow or to yourself. The Catholic Church, as an example, has a very involved ritual, and in all countries where pageantry is used, it is with the purpose of attracting people together, of holding them by this form of uniformed discipline. Rites are things which cause one to have a certain frame of mind, because in having a certain frame of mind one can be attuned to the reception of, or perception of, certain things. Rosary. Many religions use a rosary, a string of beads, so that the person who is saying prayers or mantras can, by fingering the beads, remember to say the prayers in a certain order or the correct number of times. A rosary is merely an elementary form of calculator which tells the subconscious that a thing is being done in the right order, or in the right number. Fingering a rosary often gives a soothing effect to people and overcomes that age-old problem of not knowing what to do with one's hands. S. Sadhana. This is a word which relates to various spiritual disciplines. Sadhanas are especially four means of attaining freedom from desires. It is also part of Dhamma, see under Dhamma. The disciplines of freedom from lust and similar, and need not be detailed because this whole book is devoted to them. Sadhu, a holy man, maybe a hermit, but particularly a monk. A person who leaves a lamasery or monastery and wanders among the people is given the term sadhu, in much the same way as among Christians a similar person would be called father or reverend. Sahasrara, this is the highest of the physical centers of yogic consciousness. It is the seventh, and although, as previously stated in this book, there are nine centers, only seven are named in the West. Sahasrara is also called the thousand-petaled lotus, and a clairvoyant can see this emerging from the top of the head like a fountain of golden light, and all the petals around the base are of every different color imaginable. Samadhi, this is a special state of being more than acutely aware of reality. In certain stages, when a person has progressed far, one gets to a superconscious state in which one is aware of divine realities, which cannot be proven but of which one knows that they are true. It is also a special form of knowledge in which one receives spontaneous enlightenment. A person can be pondering upon the meaning of a word, and one can have a sudden flash of revelation which gives instantly and unexpectedly the whole meaning of that which had been pondered upon. Samana, at the center of the solar plexus there is what is usually termed a vital force. It is an emanation which can clearly be seen by any developing clairvoyant. The color is affected by the gastric secretions in the vicinity, and thus most times it is of a cloudy green, something like jade, or, when slight digestion is proceeding, it may be like a yellowish form of milk color. Samatva, tranquility of temperament, placidity of mind, an entire absence of discontent, dislike, or antagonism. A state of mind where one is able to consider dispassionately, without bias or rancor. Samsara, people come to the earth in a cycle of birth, living, death, planning, and rebirth time after time in an endless cycle which remains endless until one progresses through every sign and every quadrant of the zodiac, and learns that which has to be learned, learns that which liberates one from the ties of the flesh, and thus from the necessity of reincarnating. Sankhita karma, many people regard karma as cruel, relentless, implacable, but that is not so. People can have a lot of their karma set aside, that is, put in cold storage to see how the unlucky possessor manages. Then, if the person makes progress and honestly tries to help others, his stored karma can be forgiven him, for as you forgive others their sins against you, so shall others forgive you the sins you have committed against them. The God of all is merciful and just, but with a justness tempered and modified by compassion. No one born of earth is ever called upon to suffer more than is his or her limit. No one ever has to pay back that which would be crippling. Thus it is that stored karma can be voided, bypassed, discarded, if the person being saddled with such karma proves that he or she is worthy of forgiveness. As an illustration, let us assume that a person has been very cruel indeed in the past. Karma does not mean that a person has to suffer cruelty because of that, because if a person is reborn and strives conscientiously to atone by kindness, then the karmic cruelty is discarded. Sannyas, this actually refers to a life of complete self-denial. It is usually said in the case of a person who has entered a lamasery or a monastery and who has dedicated the whole of his life to the attainment of knowledge. Here again he cannot progress unless he freely gives, unless he is willing to sacrifice that which he wanted for himself and give it for the good of others. This is the last of the four stages into which the life of an individual is divided. There is a second meaning of sannyas, and it is an initiation during which a person preparing to be a monk takes the final vows of complete renunciation and withdrawal from the world. Sarasvati, most religions have a divine mother. There is a divine mother of the Christian belief, a divine mother of the Lamastic belief, and a divine mother as a consort of Brahma. Sarasvati is the goddess of learning and the patron saint of the arts. S.A.T. This in a Western term could be likened to absolute existence, or a pure being not upon the earth. It is the reality, the over-self, that which we shall become if we behave ourselves and wait long enough. Satya, this means truthfulness, an abstention from deceiving others. It is known as the second of the abstinences. One must be completely truthful, completely honest with oneself, as with others, if one is to make progress. Satya Yuga, this is the first of the four world periods. Various religions divide world periods into a certain number of years, and Satya Yuga, also known as Krita, divides the periods into 1,728,000 years. Seances, it is surprisingly easy to get in touch with the other side. It is surprisingly easy to get in touch with elementals who pretend to be one's dearly departed friend or relative. There are certain people, not necessarily evolved, not necessarily good, not necessarily bad, but certain people who, through some quirk of metabolism, can raise their vibration so that it approximates to the harmonic of a fundamental vibration of some entity in the astral world. It may be that the person, who is then called a medium for communication, receives information from some person who has recently, or not so recently, left the world. It is highly dangerous to use such messages unless the medium is extremely well known, that is, unless you know that the medium is beyond suspicion. By this it is not meant that the medium will necessarily cheat you, but she may not have the intellectual or educational attainments which will enable her to discriminate between that which is fraudulent and that which is genuine. In general, people who have passed beyond this life are far too busy to send senseless messages. They have a job to do, perhaps preparing for a fresh incarnation. So Aunt Fanny will not come back and remind you to water the flowers, or tell you that her long-lost will is in the third drawdown of the old doll boy. Shakti, here again we have the mother of the universe. The mother is the principle of primal energy. She is that which creates, preserves and ends the universe. It is, also, the forces seen in the manifested universe. The world here is a negative world, so the negative principle is the feminine principle. When we move beyond this world, we move to a positive world. We move, in terms of esoteric lore, to the God world. Here on Earth we are in the goddess world, the negative principle. The powers which come from the goddess principle are those to do with clairvoyance, clairaudience, telepathy, psychometry, and similar, and these powers also embrace those which are thought pictures which arise without thought activity. A third power which comes from the female principle here, is the power of sound, the power of vocal expression, the power of composing music. It is a Hindu belief that one has to know of the grace of the God Mother before the true aspect of God becomes apparent. Shanti, in Lamasaris and Buddhist monasteries the word Shanti, which means peace, will be repeated at the end of a discourse. In Tibetan Lamasaris those who are having a meal are read to so that their thoughts may be distracted from the merely physical aspect of food. At the end of the reading the lector will often say three times, Om. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. It merely means that it is an exhortation to peace, much as in certain Christian monasteries the words, Pax Vobiscum are repeated, meaning peace be with you. Shatsampati, a person who is studying with an advanced guru, with the aim of securing liberation from the lusts and desires of the flesh, will be taught in the main six things, which are, 1. Shama, which is the ability to remain tranquil and to direct one's thoughts, to control the mind so that the lusts of the body are set aside. 2. Dhamma. This is a system of disciplines which enables one to control the body after the mind has been raised to a state when body desires can be exorcised. 3. Upriti. This system teaches one not to desire the possessions of one's neighbor. It teaches one to become circumspect in choosing one's associates and one's possessions. It teaches one to be content with what one has. 4. Titiksha. This is the ability to endure cheerfully and patiently the difficulties which are thrust upon us by our evolving karma. 5. Shraya. Under this system one has to be sincere and honest with oneself and with others. One must tear away the illusions and the falsity which surround one. In Western terms it implies that one should cease to be a waltamiti. 6. Samadhana. Here one is able to concentrate one's forces, one's abilities, to a single purpose. One is not turned aside by temporary distractions. Instead, one pursues a steadfast path straight ahead to secure freedom from reincarnating. Shengzhen, this is what the Chinese call a wise man, one who has studied much, a sage, a good man, one who can control others with kindness and maintain discipline by kindness rather than by force. From it we have, Shengwang, which is an ideal ruler, one who has inner wisdom together with the ability to be a good ruler. Shifei, this is the opposites, right and wrong, truth and lies or errors. That which is correct and that which is incorrect. Shiva, this is a word with many meanings. In the Hindu trinity of gods it means the god who dissolves us from the earth, the power called the destroyer which releases humans from the earth body. It is a god venerated by yogis who seek release from the flesh. We have three forms, which is birth, life, and death. There is a god which determines when we shall be born. There is a god which supervises us during life, and there is a god, Shiva, which gives us release from earth in the form of death. Siddha, this is one who has progressed through the various cycles of incarnations, and is now a perfect soul, one who has not yet reached the stage of actual divinity, but who is progressing and is therefore at the stage of semi-divinity. From this we have, Siddhi, this means spiritual perfection. It also means that one has considerable occult power. Silver cord, just as the newborn child is connected to its mother by the umbilical cord, so are we connected to our over-self by the silver cord. Just as the puppet is connected to the puppet master by a bit of string, so are we connected to our puppet master by the silver cord. The silver cord has its name because, being composed of rapidly rotating particles of all the colors in existence, it appears to be silver. The myriad colors reflect to the clairvoyant as a pure bluish-white silver. This cord is infinitely extensible, and it has no limitations. When a person is doing astral travel, the inner body separates from the outer sheath of flesh and floats away at the end of the silver cord in much the same way that you can let a kite up at the end of a cord. When the body demands the astral body, the latter is reeled in just the same way as a kite is reeled in. Everything that we do on earth is transmitted to the over-self by way of the silver cord. Anything the over-self wants to tell us is transmitted downwards to the subconscious, where the information is stored until we want it, transmitted downwards by way of the silver cord. When we come to death, then the silver cord thins and parts, just as a baby dies to its mother when the umbilical cord is severed, so does the flesh body die to the over-self when the silver cord be severed and the golden bowl be shattered. The golden bowl, of course, is the nimbus or higher etheric force which surrounds the head during life and departs at the moment of death. Sin, what is sin? Sin is that which a group of priests at any time consider to be undesirable. Actually, it is a rather meaningless term. At present, procreation seems to be rather a sin, because it is stated that children are born in sin. How can they be? Without procreation, there would be no race and no priests. Sins include pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and laziness. These are the main sins, the parent sins, and all others derive from them. Pride, of course, is only a misunderstanding of our abilities. Covetousness disappears when the coveted article has been obtained. Lust is another name for the sexual drive without which the race would not continue, and sex was held out in days of old as a reward by the priests for those who obeyed the priests. Sex, in fact, now regarded as a major sin, used to be much favored by the priesthood for attracting the populace to the temples. The priests used to stage shows which would make anyone's eyes fairly stick out nowadays. The priests also used to make it a law that every unmarried woman in the land should once a year prostitute herself to any man who in the temple grounds offered her money. Sin is that which has been adjudged by the priesthood to be something which can weaken their own force, weaken their own power. The best way to avoid sin is to rigidly adhere to the rule "do as you would be done by." If you wouldn't like it to be done to you, then don't do it to anyone else. Do that, live by that, and you are safe. Soul, a much misunderstood word. It is our ego, our over-self, our puppet master, the real I. That spirit which is using our flesh body in order to learn things on earth which could not be learnt in the spirit world. Svata, this is something, perhaps a thought, or some special sound, such as Om, which makes the mind open like a blossom in the sunlight. It is something which stimulates our mind to unexpected awareness. It is that for which we strive upon earth in order that we may become enlightened beings. Sponges, you may wonder what sponges have to do in a dictionary like this. But there are many people who are just human sponges. They suck up information which remains as an undigested mass inside the brain. It is useless information.